This TSN 1040 podcast is powered by Metro Ford. It's hard to beat a Metro Ford deal. In Fort Coquitlam and online at metromotors.com. You're listening to TSN 1040. And it's time for White Spot Vancouver Giants this week.
Rebound on the side of the goal. They score! Thomas Foster batted it out of the air as he was falling to the ice. And the Giants have the 2-1 lead.
Trying to move into the slot. Waiting. Shoots. Stopped by Kubik. He'll cover up. What a save for the Vancouver goaltender.
Coming up, interviews and insight on your Vancouver Giants, as well as news from around the WHL.
Now, here's your host, Brendan Batchelor.
Yes, indeed. Good evening and welcome to White Spot Vancouver Giants this week right here on TSN 1040. Brendan Batchelor with you, as you heard off the top there. As always, thanks for joining me for our final show of the season. Yes, the WHL playoffs have come to an end, which means the end of our program for 2016-2017. But before we go, we're going to give you a full preview of the MasterCard Memorial Cup, which gets underway tomorrow in Windsor, Ontario. The Windsor Spitfires, the host club, went out in the first round to the OHL playoffs, while the Erie Otters won the OHL championship. From the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, the St. John Sea Dogs will be the representatives. They swept Blainville-Boisbriand in the league final to move on to the Memorial Cup. And then, of course, here in the Western Hockey League, the Seattle Thunderbirds victorious in six games over the Regina Pats with a thrilling come-from-behind win in game number six in Regina. The T-Birds, with their first ever Ed Chynoweth Cup, are off to the Memorial Cup as well. We're going to go from east to west tonight on the program, previewing the Memorial Cup. Later on in the show, I'll be joined by Aaron Cooney. He's the play-by-play voice for the OHL champion Erie Otters. And before we get to the top of the clock, I'll also chat with Russ Farwell, the general manager of that victorious Seattle Thunderbird team. But I'm pleased to be joined on the phone now by Tim Rozell. He's the play-by-play voice for the St. John Sea Dogs, the champions of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. And Tim, first of all, thanks for joining me tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
So the St. John Sea Dogs win the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League's President's Cup with a sweep over Blainville-Boisbriand in the league final. Overall, just give us an impression of this playoff run for St. John as they get set to start the Memorial Cup here in the next couple of days.
Well, I can tell you the final, for example, was certainly it came down to a sweep over Blainville-Boisbriand, as you mentioned, but it was one of those series that, you know, that certainly didn't feel much like a sweep in the end. You know, St. John won four straight games, but they were all very tight games, and it was a difficult series for St. John for sure. You know, I liked the playoff run that St. John went on. I felt like the team came in determined. This was a club that back in the fall was touted as a team that was expected to potentially win the President Cup and possibly even more than that. And so they dealt with those expectations all season long, and the team made some changes during the holiday trade period that the league has during Christmas time, and didn't do a lot, but made some key moves and really improved their stead in a number of key positions, and that put them in good shape. And so when the team clinched the first overall position late in the season, it was the first part of what has been a greater goal for St. John, and the playoffs went pretty well. All four series at times were difficult. All four opponents gave St. John everything they had, full credit to them for preparing the Sea Dogs to be league champions. But we saw a lot of things come out in the playoffs for St. John that we were expecting to see. We saw great goaltending from Callum Booth. We saw Thomas Chabot take his game to yet another level as he continues to show off his professional potential. And we saw the depth of this team. There are so many players on this team that can be key contributors, both offensively and defensively. And all of those came through during a pretty impressive postseason run.
And this has been a pretty good run over the last few years for a Sea Dogs organization that won the Memorial Cup in 2011, was back at the tournament in 2012, and here they are again in 2017. A pretty good stretch of time for the fans there in St. John.
Yeah, you know what? It's been good, and it's been difficult at times too, because if you go back to that stretch where St. John won in 2011 and 2012, the team also lost in the league final in 2010. So there were 3 years in a row right there where the team was the best of the best, and competed night in, night out, and worked extremely hard to be among the top teams in the QMJHL and the entire Canadian Hockey League. But then, as you see many teams do throughout their evolution process, there was a rebuilding process that took place following that 2012 league championship run and the back-to-back President Cup titles. So, the team went through a pretty significant tear down. The vast majority of players that were on those teams in 2011 and 2012 were gone, especially by the midway point of the 2012-13 season. And it was time for a new breed of players to come in. And one of the nice things about the way the Sea Dogs team has been built over the last few years is that you can look over the last five seasons and you can see evidence of it. And it starts with the Sea Dogs captain, Spencer Smallman, who was one of two five-year players on the Sea Dog team that were drafted in 2012 after those back-to-back league championship titles. And so, Spencer Smallman and Matthew Highmore, who's been the team's leading scorer the last 2 years, they've been here every single day of that rebuilding process. They were here when Jonathan Huberdeau got the last half season of his QMJHL career in before going on to the Florida Panthers after that 2012-13 lockout ended in the winter of that season and produced a lockout shortened NHL campaign. And they were here for the rest of those players that were part of that club that still were eligible to play and still stayed in St. John for a little while. And they were, they helped form the base, helped form the foundation for what this team has become. Those are 2 5-year guys. There are several 4-year players on this team as well, guys like Matthew Joseph, who many fans will remember from the World Junior Hockey Championship and also as a prospect for the Tampa Bay Lightning. You've got Sam Dove McFalls, who's a Philadelphia Flyers prospect. Of course, Thomas Chabot, who really had a major coming out party, if you will, at the World Juniors as the tournament MVP, and he was also playoff MVP for St. John this year, and several others as well. Nathan Knoll, all of these players are 4-year guys, and then you have Matthew Highmore and Spencer Smallman, who are 5-year guys. You've had guys that have lived this rebuild right back at the beginning, and so St. John had a stretch after those two championships where they missed the playoffs 1 year, they were out in the first round the other 2 years, and then last year it took another step to get back to where to where this team has reached as it got all the way to the semifinal last year. And the vast majority of the players that were on that team are on this team as well. And so this has been a long process to get back to the top of the league, but it's been one that has been done right by the organization. They've done it through the draft and through smart signings and through developing their own players, and it shows.
Tim Rozelle, the play-by-play voice of the St. John Sea Dogs, with me here on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. They begin the Memorial Cup tomorrow against the host Windsor Spitfires in the first game of the tournament. And we couldn't do this interview without asking about Thomas Chabot. You mentioned him there, the Canadian World Junior defenseman who really showcased his game on that level. And as you said earlier in the interview, he's taken his game to another level here in the postseason. How has he done that, and how much fun has he been to watch here with the Sea Dogs this year?
It's been extremely exciting to watch Thomas play. And it's been quite a season for him. If you go back all the way into last summer, when you think that he was at the World Junior Summer Evaluation Camp and then went right to Ottawa, had an extended stay with the Senators, didn't come to training camp in St. John because he wanted to be in Ottawa, wanted a chance to make the Senators, and ultimately made the team out of training camp and did play one NHL game before returning to St. John, but learned a ton while he was there. And when he came back, you could just see that this was going to be, without a doubt, his final QMJHL season. He's at a different level than most of the other players that are in this league. And it's where you see it most, I think, is offensively. He can absolutely fly with the puck. He's very smart. He's strong on the puck. He's talented with it. Knows when to make the right play the vast majority of the time, and And as with a lot of creative players, he will make mistakes, but quite often because of the speed that he possesses and the type of player that he is, he'll often come back and correct his own mistake almost instantly after it's made. So what I saw with Thomas in the playoffs especially is that, as you know, teams, especially when you're the top team in the QMJHL, teams are gunning for you. They're bringing their absolute best night in and night out. They want to knock off the regular season champs, and they want to knock off the team that everybody felt was going to be, one of the teams to beat in the QMJHL playoffs this year. And every time a team took its game up to another notch or up to a new level, if you will, Thomas's level of play rose with it. And whether that meant playing 37, 38 minutes in a game like he did against Blainville-Bois-Briand during the championship series, or whether it meant killing a key penalty or scoring a key goal, he always found a way to elevate his game to a new level and always left people around the building kind of shaking their heads going like, wow, this guy is really, really impressive. So it's been a joy to watch his development over 4 years as a premier defenseman in this league. I'm anxious to see what he's going to do in this tournament. When you have three league champions and a tremendous host team like the Windsor Spitfires are, I expect Thomas to pick up right where he left off in the postseason and continue to have a really, really strong stretch here.
Also want to ask you about another first-round NHL pick on the Sea Dogs roster, and that is Julien Gauthier, who was added midway through the season from Val-d'Or. How big of an impact has he had? As I see, he was a point-a-game player in the playoffs, but I would imagine whenever you bring in a guy like that, it makes a big difference to your hockey club.
Yeah, it really did. And you know what? Julien came in right around the same time. Well, he came after the World Juniors, but all the trades were made within a couple of weeks of each other, with adding Callum Booth, the goaltender, and another Carolina prospect, and Simon Bourque, who's a Montreal Canadiens pick and former captain of the Rimouski Oceanic. All three of those guys were identified by our organization as players that were among the best players available at their position. And Julien came in after the World Juniors and after 3.5 seasons playing in Val-d'Or, with a renewed sense of determination. He won the league title back when he was 16 years old with the Forer and has Memorial Cup experience, and that was certainly one of the things that attracted St. John to Julien Gauthier. But one of the things that you look at when you see Gauthier and you look at the numbers over the years and you watch him play when you get a chance to is he's a natural shooter. He's a natural goal scorer. Before this season, he had 79 goals over the previous 2 years. This year, not quite up to that level, but in the postseason, he really elevated his game. He played 16 of the 18 playoff games that St. John had this year, and 14 of those 16 games that he played in were wins, and he scored the game-winning goal in four of those 14 playoff victories. And probably from about the second game of the second round playoff series against Val-d'Or right through Blainville-Bois-Briand, even though he missed the final two games of the series due to suspension, he was absolutely dynamite. And he forms a really good trio with our captain, Spencer Smallman, and with Joe Valeno, the 16-year-old centerman. And they were just really good in the playoffs. Smallman had a great playoff run and surpassed the 10-goal plateau. Gauthier did as well, and Joe Valeno was right on the cusp of that too. So, you want that type of scoring out of a guy like Julien, who you bring in to be that guy. He's such a big body. He's deceptively quick, and he's got those great hands that can get shots away quickly and get them away in close, difficult angles. And he's not afraid to shoot from anywhere. He had 13 shots in a playoff game this season, which just obliterated our previous franchise record for shots in a playoff game. So, he knows where the net is, and he's not afraid to take a shot at it pretty much from anywhere. And he was a real key part of our playoff run this year for sure.
Finally, Tim, as you mentioned, it's always interesting when you get into these tournament formats like the Memorial Cup, where you have three league champions and a very good host team. And I'm sure all of the teams before the puck has been dropped here are feeling very confident about their chances. But as the Sea Dogs head in here, if they are successful at the Memorial Cup, what will it be that leads them to have that success? And if in the end they aren't able to win it, what will be their undoing?
Well, in terms of what will lead the team to success, I think it'll be a lot of things that we talked about earlier on. Number one would be very good goaltending, and St. John got that out of Callum Booth in the postseason. There were games where Callum didn't have to be at his best necessarily, or wasn't offered all that much work during the postseason because of the style that the Sea Dogs play. But when push came to shove and when all the chips were down, Callum Booth was exactly what he needed to be, exactly how he was advertised in coming over from the Quebec Remparts. And so good goaltending would be an absolute key. I think Thomas Chabot needs to be among the best players in the tournament as well. And I think there's a real good possibility that that will happen. And I think the Sea Dogs' depth will really have to come through. This team was built to be four lines deep, basically, where Danny Flynn feels comfortable throwing just about any line out against any team at pretty much any time in a game. And so when you look at the team's top line with Matthew Highmore, Boko Imama, and Matthew Joseph, Highmore and Joseph had over 30 goals this year. Boko hit 40 after not even having 35 in his career 4 years combined prior to his overage season. And then that second line with Valeno, Gauthier, and Smallman, those are two really impressive offensive units for St. John. Sam Dove McFalls on the third line had an underrated postseason, I think, did a lot of things extremely well for St. John and Nathan Knoll as well. I think that depth is really going to be absolutely critical for St. John, in order to succeed. All the teams in this tournament have high-end scorers and have decent depth, and I think the Sea Dogs are satisfied that their depth ranks right up there with every team in this tournament. So I think in terms of actually winning the tournament, I think those are going to be the big keys for St. John. Where they can get into trouble, I think just like any team, if they take too many penalties, there are just too many good players in this tournament for power plays to not click. The Sea Dogs penalty kill was the best in the QMJHL in the regular season and the best in the postseason, and it would be put to the test for sure. The representative from the West that you guys would know, the Seattle Thunderbirds, their power play clicked at 35% in the postseason. That's a pretty impressive clip. So, the Sea Dogs can't take any chances and can't take, irresponsible minor penalties that put teams on power plays because when you're in a tournament like this, they can come back to bite you pretty quickly, and you don't have another three or four games to make up for those mistakes in this short tournament type of format. So that would be the big area for St. John, I think, where they would have to be careful. But if the depth all of a sudden goes cold or what have you, then you've got other issues too. But I think St. John has enough depth that even if a player or two have some problems, that some other guys can pick things up. So I think it'll be a good tournament one way or the other, and I think the Sea Dogs are right there among the best for sure.
Tim, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate you taking the time to chat, and best of luck to both you and the Sea Dogs as you get set to start the Memorial Cup tomorrow.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
There you go. That's Tim Rozelle, the play-by-play voice of the St. John Sea Dogs as they get set to start the Memorial Cup. A reminder that you can get your season tickets for the 2017-2018 Giants season at the Langley Events Center now. And if you become a Giants season ticket holder, you'll get priority access to tickets for the 2019 World Juniors, which are returning to British Columbia. For more information or to get your season tickets today, call Matt and Mike in the Giants sales office at 604-4-GIANTS. That's 604-444-2687, or go online to vancouvergiants.com/season tickets. On the other side, I'll chat with Aaron Cooney, the play-by-play voice of the OHL champion Erie Otters. We're previewing the MasterCard Memorial Cup tonight on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. Keep it locked on TSN 1040.
This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on TSN 1040.
Brendan Batchelor back with you here on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on TSN 1040, our last show of the season, and we're previewing the MasterCard Memorial Cup, which gets going tomorrow in Windsor. And to chat more about that tournament, I'm pleased to be joined now by the play-by-play voice of the OHL champion Erie Otters. Aaron Cooney is with me on the line. And Aaron, first of all, thanks for taking the time to chat tonight.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Brendan.
So let's talk about this playoff run for the Otters as they make it to the Memorial Cup along with the St. John Sea Dogs, the Seattle Thunderbirds, and the host Windsor Spitfires. Just give me your impressions on this successful championship season for the OHL's Erie Otters.
For the Otters, it's been a long time coming with what they've accomplished over the last couple years, falling to the eventual OHL champion each of the last three seasons before this run here. But it was kind of interesting, the story with what the Otters were going to do throughout the regular season, and then they got off to a great start, and then you got handed back Dylan Strome, a gift from the Arizona Coyotes at the end of November, and that kind of made the decision for general manager Dave Brown the team was going to go all in. They acquired Carolina Hurricanes prospect Warren Fogel from the Kingston Frontenacs. They acquired Tampa Bay Lightning prospect and a Memorial Cup champion in Anthony Cirelli from the Oshawa Generals, and both of those guys huge key factors in the Otters' success, especially in the postseason, coming up with some big and some timely goals throughout this playoff run. And for the Otters, it was, you know, the last kick at the can for not only the Overagers, but knowing this core group with Alex DeBrincat, Darren Radish, Taylor Radish, and some of these other guys that they won't all be together next year. Lot will be graduating. You got 1097 born players, and those guys will be moving on as well. So the Otters, it was, everything fell into place. The puzzle came together at the perfect time, and Erie finally got the job done here after a couple of years of searching to become OHL champions.
For fans out here on the West Coast that may not have had a chance to see the Otters play before the Memorial Cup this week, of course the games will be nationally televised, but how would you describe their identity as a team?
For the Otters, it's puck possession. That's been Chris Knobloch's MO since he's come in. And if the Otters have the puck, the other team doesn't, and that's the best defense that we can come up with. So the Erie Otters, they want to control the puck. They want to get it into the offensive zone with control. If they have to, they will dump and chase if they got a change. But this is a team that likes to carry it in. If they can develop off the rush, great. But carry the puck in with control. And then establish their offensive forecheck from there. So there's a lot of dynamic offensive talent between goal scorers like DeBrincat. Dylan Strome can slow things down. Kyle Maxton, which has had a great year for Erie as an undrafted NHL prospect. And then Anthony Cirelli's done his thing. So Erie, they're kind of built forward up in the defense. Also puck movers. They're not going to be overly physical and run anybody through the wall and up to the third row. They're going to get great gap control, good stick control, keeping the play in front of them and moving the puck as quickly as they can to get to the forwards to let them create.
Aaron Cooney, the play-by-play voice of the Erie Otters, with me here on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. They play their first game of the Memorial Cup on Saturday against the WHL champion Seattle Thunderbirds. And you mentioned Dylan Strome. Let's talk about him now. The third overall pick by Arizona, as you said, sent back to Erie. And oftentimes that can be quite a disappointment for players, but he obviously had a great offensive season. Did you get a sense that it was tough on him coming back to junior initially, though?
I'm sure right off the bat, you know, when it was first announced from Arizona that it was disappointing for him. Obviously, the goal in his career is to play in the NHL and be there and be one of those top guys. But, the way it works out, he's sent back, and there's a few days, about a week before his first game. So I think by the time it was all said and done, he had a couple days to think about it. Then Dylan Strome returned to practice, and there he was for his first game. Back in an Otters jersey, and it was just, he was like one of the guys again, just right back in the locker room. Like I said, the group has been together for a while, so it was pretty easy transition for him just to hop back in, put the C back on, be one of the boys again in the locker room. So, for him, you know, the disappointment I'm sure was shared, but he quickly just pushed that aside from him and you know, they Arizona, there's goals that they set for him. There's goals that he set for himself, and one of them was an OHL championship. Another here is the Memorial Cup. So he's been dialed in ever since, and it's been OHL in junior hockey for him, and then moving on from there.
Also want to talk about Alex DeBrincat, an amazing season for him, 65 goals in 63 games, 127 points. Where do you think his NHL potential projects as a bit of a smaller player, albeit a very effective offensive one?
Yeah, you know what, his offensive talents speak for themselves, and you know, you rattled off the stats there, Brendan, and this guy clearly knows how to score goals. He's done it now at every single level. And, you know, for him, he's always been, his entire career has been proving doubters wrong, whether it's even coming into our league. People said he couldn't be drafted. He was too small. He goes undrafted through two OHL priority selections, signs at the free agent as the Erie Otters, and nobody thought he could play. Ends up on the line with Connor McDavid and pots 60-plus goals. So he's come a long way into where he's at, and to be drafted as the second-round pick by the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, if you look at the way hockey is developing and the direction the game is going, and especially NHL, you're starting to see smaller, there are more and more smaller, speedy, skilled players that start to pop up on NHL rosters. And you know what? He fits that mold in the way the game is going. You need to be able to escape in this game. You need to be able to keep up with the play and be creative. And Alex DeBrincat, he has all those skills, and I know he's worked on a lot of things. And from his first days with the Erie Otters into where he's at now, he's become a more and more complete player, and defensively that has picked up as well. So I'm sure coaching staff and Bowman's love that over in Chicago. And, you know, he expects him to be up in the AHL and get a cup of tea and take a look at with the big club. But, you know, he can definitely see him as an effective professional hockey player moving forward, especially the way the game's going.
How big of an impact do you think Connor McDavid in his time in Erie has had on the guys that are still there and now are champions?
Well, I think it's a huge step, because if you look at the group that did go to that first or that OHL final in Connor McDavid's last year in junior hockey in 2015, that's a major learning experience. And a lot of those players that were had some major roles, those were 98s in their rookie season. And now here they are as 18, 19-year-olds. And they've already had a huge experience, a glimpse of what it takes to win in the OHL and to win a championship. They fall short in five games to the Oshawa Generals and have been fortunate enough to get another couple attempts at this and finally finishing things off. And, you know, I think McDavid and what he does and then seeing how he's handled himself, not only just on the ice but off the ice, has kind of been a role model for a lot of these guys. And you can talk to players like Dylan Strome or Alex DeBrincat, Taylor Radish, they've seen what Connor's gone through and how he's kind of dealt with some of the off-ice things, media, autographs, dealing with, you know, just public day by day as a star. You know, they picked up some things like that. And Alex has spoken a lot of likes to what he's learned from Connor in his time in Erie and the year that they shared together. In how he dealt with everything. And I think they picked up on that, not only just for themselves as hockey players, but for, you know, growing up in general.
A couple more minutes with Aaron Cooney, the play-by-play voice of the Erie Otters, with me here on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. And one of those 98 players that you mentioned who we actually had a chance to see in Vancouver at the CHL Top Prospects game was Taylor Radish. He ended up going to the Tampa Bay Lightning. He has a 100-point season here as well. How big of a part of this season has Taylor Radish been for the Otters?
He's been phenomenal. The year he's had, you know, that's one of the biggest offensive production years, just the sixth player in Erie Otters history to record a 100-point season. So, and I think that was what Taylor accomplished, especially early on, is what really had the brass and the hockey management side thinking, you know, this, even if we don't get Dylan back, if we can put another guy between Alex and Taylor, we still got a really good chance here and to continue with this offensive unit. So Taylor Radish for himself has really built himself into a more well-rounded player. When he came in after having the chance at Tampa Bay camp, you could just see that he has just grown his game. And he started his OHL campaign as a goal scorer. When he joined the league, he only put up 2 assists in his first season. Then this year leads the league with 62 assists. So, He's grown into that. He's starting to use his body, you know, this all season has used his body a lot more to his advantage. He's a big boy at 6'2", and, you know, be able to muscle his puck and win puck battles and take the puck out of the corner and continue his offensive play down in the O-zone. So he's Taylor has come a long way from what you saw as a guy that's going to kind of drift around, find the spots in the soft area and pot a goal. And now he's out there creating offense for himself and creating space for his teammates.
Finally, as you're out there in the Ontario Hockey League, we have to ask you about the Windsor Spitfires as well, the host team that went out in Game 7 in the first round of the playoffs. So they've had quite a long break here, but three good league champions in Seattle, St. John, and Erie. Where does Windsor fit into this tournament, do you think? And do they have a chance to maybe surprise and knock off a couple of these teams?
I think that people are going to be rather surprised with Windsor. And the main thing is because they're healthy. They've been banged up all season long, and towards the end of the year, they lost Logan Stanley and how big of a presence and the big first rounder the Winnipeg Jets brings on the blue line. But having him back and having that entire team, Logan Brown had been battling injuries all season long, first rounder with the Ottawa Senators. So that's the biggest thing for them is that they are healthy. Now, we're going to find out is can they jump right out there in a short tournament and match the intensity of, three teams that are coming off of long, deep postseason runs and championship series. I think that's going to be the biggest thing. But, no, for Windsor, they're built big. They're built heavy. They want to impose their will on you, and they want to work down and in the hardworking areas. So they're kind of built from behind the net and then bring it back up top, and you can't be remiss if I miss Michael DiPietro and the draft eligible goaltender and what he's done this season for them between the pipes. He's been outstanding, and they'll look to continue with that now that Windsor is ready to go for the Memorial Cup.
Aaron, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate you taking the time to chat, and best of luck to you and the Otters as you get set to get into the Memorial Cup here this weekend.
Brendan, thank you again for having me. It was my pleasure.
That's Aaron Cooney, the play-by-play voice of the Erie Otters. On the other side, I'll chat with Russ Farwell, the general manager of the WHL champion Seattle Thunderbirds. This is Brendan Batchelor, and you're listening to White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on TSN 1040.
This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on TSN 1040.
More minutes on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week right here on TSN 1040. Brendan Batchelor with you as we wrap up our final show of 2016-2017, previewing the MasterCard Memorial Cup. My thanks to Aaron Cooney, the play-by-play voice of the Erie Otters, and Tim Roselle, who calls the games for the St. John Sea Dogs, for joining me earlier on in the show. But of course, the Giants in the Western Hockey League, so we would be remiss if we didn't cover the champions from this league, the Seattle Thunderbirds, who beat the Regina Pats in the league final to capture the Ed Chenault Cup. And I had the chance to catch up with the general manager of the T-Birds, Russ Farwell, earlier this week. I started off by thanking him for taking the time and congratulating him on the championship victory for his hockey club.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a whirlwind, and guys are all excited, so thank you.
Yeah, it should be an exciting week to come with the Memorial Cup getting going here shortly. But talk about this playoff run from your perspective now that it has come to an end, at least in terms of the Western Hockey League portion of the postseason, to win the Ed Chenault Cup for the first time in franchise history, a year after losing in the finals for your club. What has this meant to you, to the organization, and to the fans in Seattle?
Well, it's huge for our organization, first of all. I think, we've been 8 years in this new location in Kent, and it's been ideal for us, and we've been building a following all the way along. But for the longtime fans, we've got fans 24, 25 years history with us, season ticket holders, and it's been a long time coming. And we've gotten close, and we've been there a couple of times at the league final, but this is the first time we've had a real, concerted push, and the guys pushed it over the line. And it's a special group. Our fans are especially excited. This group we've played through a lot of adversity this year. A lot of things have happened, a lot of injuries and that kind of thing, and the guys just powered through it all. So it's really become a special accomplishment because of just the makeup and the persona around the team.
And you talk about the injuries. You had injuries to pretty well all of your key players in the postseason, but you're able to get healthy at the right time and get through and win a hard-fought series against Regina that had a lot of close one-goal games. What did it take to push this team over the edge when it came to the final series, in your mind?
Well, what did it take? All our big guys really played, and we got good, solid goaltending from Carl, which is an amazing story in itself, stepping up like he did when, you know, the second last weekend of the year is when Toth went down, and we got through the end thinking we were just getting him ready for the playoffs, and then he wasn't ready to go, and Carl stepped in, and it's been a great story as he's gone through it, and we got good goaltending, but our big guys all play, and our power play really produced through the end, and we played fairly well in our own end and pretty tight, and so we were able to shut down guys like Steele and stuff that have had pretty good seasons. So it was a real team effort is probably the best way to put it.
Russ Farwell of the Seattle Thunderbirds with me here on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. And you bring up your young goaltender, 2000-born Carl Stankowski, who only played a handful of regular season games, and here he is backstopping a team in his rookie season to the WHL Championship. He's a smaller goaltender, too, so in your mind, how does he get the job done? And I'm sure when you drafted him, you liked what you saw from him, but to have this much from him this early must be even more of a bonus.
Yeah, he was a high pick for us. Our guys really thought he was the best young goalie in Alberta when he went through. So that, you know, it's not a shock. And he had a real good camp. He started well for us, and then he had the injury, and that's why we have three goalies. We were able to get Matt Berlin, and he stepped in, and I think he won six or seven games for us. But Carl had a hip injury and had to have some treatment there, and he was gone from us for a couple of months and then came back right around the deadline time just afterwards and was here the balance of the year, and then he got, you know, I think three starts after that. So he didn't get a lot of time because of injury as well, but he played well through his time, and no one could say that this was we didn't mastermind it. It kind of unfolded for us, and he really stepped up to the challenge.
How nice is it as well that you have a young goaltender in the fold who you can count on going forward? Because I know over the last couple of years, and including this year with Ryland Toth, although he's been injured, you had made moves to bring in 20-year-old netminders, and with a young guy succeeding so early in his career, that might be something that you don't have to resort to going forward.
Well, that's true, and that's probably the reason if you look around and look at this year, Medicine Hat had some goaltending trouble, and they stepped out and took the first goalie that was taken in the Bantam draft, and that seems to happen all the way around. When you experience it, then right away you want to get someone in, and we've been going through that, so we stepped out and took Carl early, and he's really, proven he's a real good prospect, and so, yeah, it's great to have, and we know that he'll be there for us going forward, and it is a good feeling.
Of course, we can't talk about this club without talking about some of your key players, and of note, Matthew Barzal, the MVP of the WHL playoffs this year, and a guy that you weren't sure if you were going to get back coming into this season. You can say the same for Ryan Gropp, but both of them end up being pretty key parts to your success here. What can you say about Matthew Barzal as his WHL career likely winds to a close here with the Memorial Cup coming up?
Yeah, I know it definitely. Matt's ready to move on, and he will be playing pro next year, and it was for us great to have him back. I mean, he got a chance and he experienced it there. He knows what it's going to take to play, and so that was all a good experience. But when he did come back, he certainly became one of the marquee guys in the league. From Christmas on, Matt has really, really given us. He came back from the World Junior with a real good attitude, a real positive approach, and he's been a real leader for us since that time. And Gropp really did the same thing. I mean, Gropp, first half was maybe in and out a bit, really took a step as a player his last 3 months, and gave us real solid play. He was our leading scorer on the year, and all three guys on that line really had great second halves, and that was a big part of our success.
And all three of those guys battled through injury as well, which gets back to the adversity you talked about. Who else would you pinpoint as being a pretty key factor in your success? Whenever you win a championship, you're getting contributions throughout the lineup, but is there anyone else that really stepped out and had a good playoffs in your mind, whether it be Alexander True or Donovan Niles or even Jarrett Tischka on the blue line?
Well, those guys you mentioned have been key. We've gotten a lot of timely goals from True, you know, on the power play, and he plays with those guys, plays the front of the net, and really has become very good at it and does a good job. But he also kills penalties and kind of goes up and down our lineup and plays that third line center, which is, you know, we've got, I think, the best mix of centers going, because we've got a star in Barzal, we've got a guy that just stirs our drink in Scott Enser. Scott's really, really important to us when he's going. It just changes our fortunes, because the other team has to worry about that line, and they're so hard to play against with Malinen and Wilk in there, and that they just really cause problems for other teams' defense, and it's huge, because it gets the other guys in, so much more room, and then True's capable of kind of breaking a game open, because they'll contribute scoring-wise. And Miles has gone up and down our lineup. He's played on every single line. He's filled in on the Barzal line. He centered when Enser was out. Enser missed about 35 games in the whole year, and he played center there and was excellent, and now he steps off and plays with True, and he kills penalties and blocks shots and does a lot of key things for us. So those guys have been great. Malinen has scored a lot of key goals for us through the playoffs, and Vulcan has been a real solid contributor through the final. So, you know, all nine guys have been really, really good for us, and that's what it takes. And Bear played through some injury trouble and has played with a splint on his hand, and led the playoffs in defense scoring. So, you know, he's had a real solid playoff. Ottenbright stepped up when Bear was hurt and really took his game to another level. So it's two guys that we got close to the deadline were Hyman and Strand, and that really rounded out our defense, because the hole we had last year, we lost Smith and Hoff, and they were just real solid for us throughout the playoffs, and we needed to replace that, and we were having trouble, and those guys have really stepped in. They're both big men and given us real good play back there, and so takes a whole team to get through it because of the grind of the playoffs, and we've really had that.
Couple more minutes with Russ Farwell, the general manager of the Seattle Thunderbirds, with me here on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. And you touched on the relocation to Kent a number of years back and building a fan base out in the suburbs in Seattle. It's a smaller arena, and a lot of people, when they heard that the Giants, in fact, were moving to the Langley Event Center, compared the move to the one that Seattle made. How much does this mean to the fan base there, and what sort of a reaction have you seen locally? Unfortunately, you weren't able to win it at home. You win it in Regina on the road, but is this something that's being really well received, not just with your fans, but maybe getting a bit more media attention in Seattle as a whole?
Yeah, we've had quite a bit of regional and the Seattle coverage as well recently, but it's been exciting for our fans and our city and stuff down here. We had almost 1,000 people here when we got back to the rink last night, and it really has, we had some real exciting games down the stretch, and that last one here set a new record in our building, it's been an exciting run, and fans have really gotten into it, and we look at our region as kind of the surrounding, Auburn, Federal Way, Covington and Renton are the cities surrounding us here, and that's kind of all part of our main drawing area. We have fans that come further and fans that were with us when we were further north, but that's really become our key area, and it's been exciting, and we've drawn all the way around it. But the city of Kent is, you know, has become our home and really adopted us, and that's where most of the guys live. Is all in Kent, and we moved everything down here. So it is pretty similar to the Giants, and they'll probably, as they transition, it's been a little harder for them because they were so established, I think, and maybe didn't move quite as far. For us, with our traffic in this region, we wholesale moved everything down here, and it's been really, really good.
Finally, the club heads now to the MasterCard Memorial Cup in Windsor and will play its first game on Saturday against the Erie Otters, the champions from the OHL. But it's a little bit different once you get through the grind of a playoff run to go to a tournament like this, which is one of those short-form tournaments where you have to be hot and you have to win games at the right time and you get into single-game elimination scenarios in order to have success. So what do you think is unique about that, and what do you think your team will need to adjust to in a tournament style format?
Well, you always have to adjust. You know, we're going when another league hosts it, there's a little bit of a different standard pen refereeing wise, and you have to adjust to that. You can't be oblivious to it. You have to kind of make those adjustments because special teams at all levels are really important, and it in ours and through our playoffs so far, it's been important. So we need to adjust to that and make sure that we're in sync. And otherwise, we play all six of our defensemen. We have three real good centers that can match up pretty well. So our guys will have some choices, and they're working hard on getting prepared right now, and they've done an excellent job. Our coaches have really done a good job through the playoffs and all season long. They've kept our guys believing when we had a pretty thin lineup, and we powered right through it. So I know we'll be ready, and we'll get into it. But we've got some good pieces because we're real strong at center, and we've got good size, and all our guys can contribute on the back end. So, you know, that's important. So we'll be ready to go.
All right, Russ. Well, thanks a lot for this. Appreciate you coming on. Once again, congratulations on winning the Ed Chynoweth Cup, and best of luck as you head to the Memorial Cup to represent the Western Hockey League.
Good, Brendan. Thank you.
There he is, Russ Farwell, the general manager of the WHL champion at Seattle Thunderbirds. And that does it for all the time we've got on the show this week, all the time we've got on the show this year, as it is the final program of 2016-2017. Want to take this opportunity to thank everyone that's listened to the show throughout the season, as well as all of our Giants broadcasts here on TSN Radio. We will be back for the 2017-2018 season, so make sure to join us on the air here on TSN Radio. And join us out at the Langley Event Center as well. You can get your season tickets for next year by calling 604-4GIANTS. That's 604-444-2687. You can also go online to vancouvergiants.com/season tickets for more information. For the final time this year, this is Brendan Batchelor saying thanks for listening to White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. Good night, and keep it locked right here on TSN 1040.
This TSN 1040 podcast is powered by Metro Ford. It's hard to beat a Metro Ford deal. In Port Coquitlam and online at metromotors.com.